Without going into a real detailed scenario, just if we knew what was going to happen to us next week, and what was going to happen to us next week was not going to be pleasant, was not going to be fair, was not going to be just. Whether you want to make that scenario that for whatever reason, maybe it was because of who you are as a Christian, as a believer in Christ, that created such a dislike and discomfort for others that they decide to do some lying about you, set you up, maybe some things that were involved in work that were false accusations that were going to result in very difficult times in your life, rather than even maybe trying to convict you falsely for theft or embezzlement, things that were going to totally change and really ruin your life. And as I said, not going into a lot of detail with that, but just giving that scenario about yourself, you know, what would you do? You know, what would I do? If we knew for sure all this was going to happen, well, we would be taking action, wouldn't we? Preparing. Okay, I'm going to be seeing the lawyers. I'm going to be finding people, you know, in my corner. We would go to a lot of effort in to try to get out of that situation that we knew that was going to happen. I like to read from Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6 and 7. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent. So he opened not his mouth. In the first book of the Gospel of John, John sees Jesus coming from a distance. And what is it that John says? He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, the one who takes away the sins of the world." We can think of Jesus in a lot of different ways, but one certainly is that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. And Jesus being the Lamb of God, one part of that is the idea that Jesus is without blemish. You know, the purity of that lamb. But much to do with Jesus being the Lamb of God is that he, knowing what was going to be happening to him, he did not do anything about it, as we often refer, calling the 10,000 angels. But he was led like a sheep to the slaughter. And so we started with that scenario with ours. Now, one big difference between us giving ourselves a scenario is it would probably be in the best interest of our family and those that we love that are around us that we took action and we fought and did not be able to be falsely accused and suffer those consequences. It would be in our best interest, it would be in our family's best interest for us to do that. But unlike that, with Jesus, it was in our best interest that Jesus was a lamb, that he allowed himself to go through all this, even though he knew that. And that's what I want to focus on just for a few minutes this morning, and I want to do that from the book of Mark. So if you would turn to the book of Mark, I want to look at a few different passages and just for us to focus on this one concept. Of all the teaching and the things that were going on in Jesus' life, what we're going to see with the passages that we're looking at is that constant awareness of what was going to be happening to Jesus. And oftentimes, it's really just a week or two away. But I want us to begin in chapter 9 of the book of Mark. And in the very first part of that chapter, what is recorded here is what we call the transfiguration of Jesus Christ, where Jesus gets Peter, James, and John, and they go up to the mountain. And while they're on the mountain, who appears before them, along with Jesus Christ, is Elijah and Moses, as you begin reading through there. And it is Peter, because they are just kind of dumbfounded and really don't know what to say. So what comes out of the mouth of Peter is, should we erect, should we build three tabernacles, one for each of them? And then in verse 7, the cloud came, overshadowed them, and the voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." And then all of a sudden when they look around, there was no Elijah, there was no Moses, but there was Jesus Christ. And in verse 12, after Peter, James, John asked a question about Elijah in verse 11, why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? Jesus answers and tells them, indeed, Elijah is coming first and restores all things. And how is it written concerning the Son of Man, Jesus referring to himself, that he must suffer many things and be treated with contempt? So here, of this, where Jesus Christ is glorified by God, this is my beloved Son, hear him, above Elijah, Moses. And after this coming, the disciples ask the question, we see Jesus revealing and conveying that he is very, very aware of what is around the corner. Speaking to them, referring to himself, the Son of Man, he must suffer many things and be treated with contempt. And then we look at the same chapter, verse 31 specifically, but what we see as we read through this chapter is the preceding verses is the boy that was healed, the boy whose father went to the disciples and they could not cast out this spirit of his son. And in verse 17, when Jesus gets there, in verse 17 it says, teacher, I brought you my son. And in verse 18, he describes this. Wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes at his teeth, and becomes rigid. And as we go down, in verse 25, we know that Jesus does cast out this spirit. In verse 25, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. And the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one who was dead. And in verse 27, Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he came into the house, the disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? So we see Jesus casting out the spirit of this boy and this taking place. And then we drop down in verse 30, and it goes on that shortly after this instance, they go through Galilee. And then in verse 31, it says, for he, that is Jesus, taught his disciples and said to them, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and after he is killed, he will rise the third day. Again, looking at events and things that were going on, but what we want to focus on is after all this happened, and he's with his disciples, they're passing through Galilee, this is what he begins to convey to his disciples, is his awareness of this truth that he is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. He is going to be killed. And then let's look in chapter 10 of the book of Mark. in verses 33 and 34 is what we'll focus on, but preceding that, what we have revealed to us in God's Word is a lot of teaching that Jesus was doing with his disciples. The first part in this chapter, what we see is him, when questions were arose, he starts teaching them about marriage, about divorce, and then some little children are brought to him. And the reaction of disciples weren't very good, and Jesus was not pleased with their reaction, and he rebuked the disciples and teaches a lesson through the little children. And then the rich young ruler Jesus deals with in verses 17 through 22. And then the following verses begin in verse 23 as we see him talking and teaching there, saying that with God, all things are possible. That's one of the main things from that section of teaching. And then we drop down to verse 33. And he says, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and scourge him and spit on him and kill him. And the third day he will rise again." Again, through all these teachings, through all his dealings with the disciples, what we see Jesus continuing to convey and reveal is his keen awareness of what's going to happen. And Jesus is aware of it, but he knows that his disciples are not so keenly aware of this, and he's trying to, I think, prepare them as he knows this truth and what's going to happen. Look in chapter 14. The key verse is verse 8. But in verses 3 through 7, Jesus is at Bethany, and there is the woman who has the very expensive oil, and she chooses to use this oil and pour it upon Jesus Christ. She breaks the flask that the oil is in, and she anoints Jesus Christ using this, and we know reaction from some was, why was this wasted? This is worth a lot of money. And accusatory concerning this woman. And then in verse 8, Jesus' words, "She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial." So again, we see this keen awareness of what Jesus knew was coming. And on this occasion, he conveys this as far as what this woman had done and all the teaching that was involved with this, but what we're focused on, how incorporated in these things, Jesus continually brings up what is going to be happening. She anointed him for his burial that was coming. And the last one that we're going to look at is also in chapter 14, verse 18. And this is going into the preparation for the Passover with his disciples. And they are preparing and they will be partaking of that Passover together. And you know, in just a few moments, we together are going to partake of the Lord's Supper, which is patterned after this Passover at this time, as we partake of the bread, the fruit of the vine, and we focus on our Christ, our Savior. In this bread, we see the body of Christ. In this fruit of the vine, we see the blood, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But in verse 18, "Now as they sat and ate, Jesus said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, one of you who eats with me will betray me.'" And so, we just look at these different scriptures focused on the Lamb of God. That it was in your best interest, it was in my best interest, it's the best interest of mankind that Jesus, being the Lamb of God, lived up to being that Lamb, allowing himself to be led to the cross, knowing exactly what was going to happen. And I just found it interesting as I was reading through Mark and just looking at it from that perspective of all that he was doing, how time and time again that keen awareness was expressed as he fully knew, had full disclosure, but he went through it for you and for me. For everyone that has ever lived upon this earth, we have the Lamb of God who died upon the cross. And the last thing I'd like to say is specifically in that Mark 9, verse 31, as he conveys what was going to happen, he was going to be killed. And also in Mark 10, verse 34, also he knew something else. And the last thing that we read in both of those is that he was going to rise again the third day. It was important to us that Jesus allowed himself to be put to death. But it's also important to us that Jesus Christ lives. And not only did Jesus Christ know that he was going to go through all the sufferings, be put to death, but he knew that he would live. He was going to be resurrected on the third day, and we too are able to be resurrected, as we talked about in 1 Corinthians 15. And so that is on our mind right now as we together partake of the Lord's Supper.